Welcome to another episode of Ultimate Key to Freedom, questions and answers, and comments and shares, whatever it ends up being. Looks like we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The first one from Vincent Lulu. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong, Vincent. Day 4, video 6 has completed, so just about done, or maybe done, with the core material of the course, of the experience. Hi, Robert. Yeah, I just finished the Ultimate Key to Freedom training, and in Being in Truth, I am at Wave 1, Week 21, so he's almost done with that too. In one expansion pack in Being in Truth, and again in the Ultimate Key to Freedom, you mentioned appearances in inner space that are exceptions to the rule and are not coming from the mind machine, like psychics or hear voices or see images or movies. So my question is about intuition and what it is in your experience. I know you are very intuitive, and so am I. Also, I realized, thanks to you, that many of what I believed to be from my intuition was actually my mind machine very cleverly disguised as my intuition to make me believe things and be in control. Still, there is a clear part that is real intuition. Could you explain how it works for you? Could you articulate it to true creative essence and the different layers, feelings, thoughts, sensations, personalities, true creative essence, viewpoint? Thank you for your great teaching. I have been doing a lot of various personal and spiritual development / awakening, and your teachings are the deepest I have had the chance to receive. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, I'm going to answer this question literally, and in the greater scheme of things, it really isn't all that important. It really doesn't matter, but I will answer the question literally because true creative essence shapes itself into whatever appearances are in inner space in order to support an unfolding story. And sometimes it creates things to appear to come from the mind machine. Sometimes it creates things to appear to come from other people who appear to be outside of you. Sometimes it appears to be coming through intuition or gut instinct or whatever word somebody might want to use. It doesn't really matter. It's all just raw material, and it can appear or not appear. It can appear a lot or a little. It can appear in a deceptive way, like you said, was you thought certain things before where your intuition were actually the mind machine. It can be appear to be deceptive, you know. It can appear to be coming from, you know, again, a psychic or an intuitive, another individual or whatever. But in the greater scheme of things, it really doesn't matter, and it's not that all that important, because whatever's been written in the story is going to unfold. Whatever's meant to happen is going to happen. The voice, the information, whatever is going to be listened to or not listened to, acted upon or not acted upon, and except as a storyline detail, it really doesn't make any difference whether it's mind machine or intuition or whatever. But I'll answer the question literally in the way that it has been shown with a capital S to Robert. When information, regardless of whether it's thoughts, feelings, sensations, or some combination, is being kicked out by the mind machine, it's in the way that you know. It's a buzzword with the mind machine scanning its database, applying its programs and what I've called algorithms to the information, the data in the database, and then a conclusion comes out that is some variation, if you will, some interpretation, some whatever, of the data in the database. It has a certain kind of a feeling in general. It can be tricky, like you said. It can be disguised, as you said. But my perception is when it's something that comes from the mind machine, it has a certain kind of a feeling tone, if you will, to it. I can't really describe how I would, so to speak, bear with the language here, describe that difference. The way I used to call it in Phase 2 was, and I didn't use mind machine then, but when I talked about information, I used a label of clean and a label of messy. Clear, foggy. Clean, again, meaning not a lot of emotion or distortion or high charge on it or whatever. Information that was coming from what I used to call expanded self or consciousness or intuition appeared. Clear and clean. Stable, sometimes more quiet, but not always. And anything that was coming from what I now call the mind machine usually had judgment in it, usually had a messier feel to it. I can't be any more specific. It wasn't as clear and clean and pure or something like that. Bear with the language. So in the way it appeared with Robert and in the way that it's appeared with other characters that I know of, but it's not a rule or a formula, there's a very different feel to the information that comes from the mind machine versus a direct statement, if you will, a direct message, if you will, from True Creative Essence that's not coming from the database, not coming from the programs or algorithms processing it, but a direct message, if you will, from True Creative Essence, which is the way I would look at what we used to call intuition. It's not coming from the mind machine. It's a direct message given to from True Creative Essence, but that isn't meant to be taken 100% literally either. That's just a way of looking at it. Just like a message, so to speak, from the mind machine can be just a voice. It could be just a photograph. It could be just a video. It could be a combination of the raw material of inner space. A direct message from True Creative Essence can be one or more of those at the same time as well. And in my case, for Robert, more often than not, it's a voice that I hear talking, but it certainly can be what I call multimedia. It could be a video that includes a voice and pictures and other things. It just depends. But again, it doesn't really matter. If you were to listen to this or somebody else were to listen to this and they were to start watching, so to speak, inner space, and they were to see that what I've just described is accurate for what's appearing in inner space in their story, meaning there's a clean, pure, clear kind of a feeling tone and energy, if you will, to the message that we call intuition or direct message from expanded self, and it's more complicated and messy and feels dirtier, you know, so to speak, more complicated, usually has judgment and emotion in it. To me, when a direct message appears that you'd call intuition from expanded self, there's no emotion in it. An emotion may roll after it's heard in the way that you understand, but when the message actually comes through, it usually, that's what I would call clear and clean and pure. You know, there's just the message. There's not any interpretation. There's not any judgment. There usually, for me, is not a sensation or a feeling associated with it, which is part of why it feels so different. But let's just say that you, Vincent, or somebody else listening to this notices the same kind of a thing or something similar. And then the mind machine will look at that and it'll make up a story. Okay, well, from now on, whenever the clear, clean, pure thing appears, I need to listen more. I need to really pay attention to that because that's a direct message. And even though it's the mind machine talking about the mind machine, which, as I've said, is pretty humorous when you see that happening, it would then make up a rule that says maybe I shouldn't listen so carefully, or maybe I should be more careful, or I should look more closely or whatever when it's an output of the mind machine and it's got judgment or emotion or sensation or it's dirty or whatever. And it might make up a rule and then try to follow that rule. If that were to happen, then the watching of all of that would be supportive, but that's not the point of this. Is for there to be some different way of processing, looking at, obeying instructions, you know, from True Creative. None of that's needed. That's why I said ultimately this doesn't matter. Ultimately, in the way that it appears in the Robert story and the ultimate opportunity in Ultimate Freedom is you're aware of what's appearing. You're aware of the characteristics of what is appearing. In this case, clear, clean, pure on one end, and dirty, messy, emotional with a sensation or whatever, judgmental on the others, then you're aware that sometimes things are appearing and they're on that clean, pure, clear side, and some things are appearing and they're on the messier, dirtier side, so to speak, and that's what's happening in the story. No different than if you were reading a novel and a character was getting intuitive hits or a character's mind was talking to them or whatever else. Again, in Ultimate Freedom, it's not about the content. It's about the relationship to the content. And there's no to-do list that should be created out of this. There's no must or must not or should not that comes out of this. Ultimately, you are the reader of the story with Ultimate Freedom. You're aware of things that are happening to a character. And if a character appears to get a direct message from True Creative Essence, great. And if it's simply outputs from the mind machine or it's both and it varies at different times, you know, whatever, fine. That's what the story is. If you were to read 1,000 novels, you'd probably see some where a character has what's called intuition and uses it to live their life. And you'd see an awful lot of characters don't know what intuition is, live completely from logic and intellect and mind and blah, blah, blah. And so our characters can all be the same in that kind of a way. Okay. Feel free to continue the dialogue, Vincent, or anyone else listening after you've listened to that. Here's the next one, also from Vincent, also from having completed all of the videos. I have heard so many authors saying that the characters in the story they are writing are, after a while, having their own lives, exactly as if, after the author has created the characters in the novel, the following of the story is that the characters are having a life of their own and the author can hear what they say, like if they are really alive without the author deciding on it. Could we call it inspiration? You could call it inspiration. I'm stopping here. You could call it inspiration. You could call it channeling. You could call it being a scribe of information that's pouring through the mind machine into inner space. However, it doesn't matter what you call it. There are many, many authors. J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter is a beautiful example of that. That's how she described at least the early Harry Potter stories coming through her, so to speak. My guess is they all did in that way. Continuing, as true creative essence is writing the novel, can it be that sometimes it is happening that way for it too? I guess the answer is simple. If it is supportive to the story, yes. If it is not supportive, no. Okay, I'm going to stop there. It's funny because today is Thursday. Last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 10 people were at my home here in Charlottesville going through the Ultimate Key to Freedom Intensive live in my house, and I got asked this same question. So I'll share what I said there. I don't know if it came up. It probably did in Sedona and was in the video somewhere. This is what I've been shown with a capital S. It's what the truth is in the Robert story. It could be wrong. There could be something else that I'm not aware of, don't understand, don't see, or whatever. But what I'm going to share with you is what I've been shown with a capital S and what I've seen with a capital S. The metaphor of a writer in a novel in the human story is a really beautiful metaphor down to a very deep degree, but like any metaphor, any analogy, it ultimately falls apart. If you dig too deep, or certain things just don't work in it, and you can't take them 100% literally, although the novel writer thing is pretty accurate down to a deep degree. But what you're talking about here is one of those places here where it falls apart, for the reasons that you have noticed. My seeing with a capital S is this. If you walk into a movie theater and there's no previews or advertisements or anything running, there's just a white screen. There's nothing there. If something ends up being there, somebody had to put it there. Somebody had to make the advertisement. Somebody had to make the preview. Somebody had to make the movie. And then through a camera, you know, a projector, I mean, it gets projected onto that white screen. But the white screen's just a white screen. And if something's there, it was created and it was put there. In and of itself, the screen is white. If you look at paper, paper's just white. If there's words on it, if there's a story that we're calling a novel, then somebody had to write it, somebody had to put it there. The paper in and of itself, in its natural state, so to speak, is white. There's nothing there. So if you see words, you know, you see 300 pages of words or whatever, and there's a story there, somebody had to put it there. But it doesn't exist on its own. Something had to be created and put there. To me, the same thing is true about the human story. Bear with the language here, although it's pretty accurate. Inner space, in and of itself, is blank. Now, I experience inner space as black, not white like a movie theater or paper, but it doesn't matter. It's blank. There's nothing there in inner space. Story space is like the movie screen or the television screen, like what I just said. There's nothing there unless true creative essence puts it there. In and of itself, it's a black screen, blank screen. So, if you see something in inner space, so to speak, if you're aware of something in inner space, if you're aware of something in story space, true creative essence had to have put it there. And if it put it there, it had to have decided, bear with the language, it wanted to put da-da-da-da, whatever it put there, there. It had to be premeditated. It had to have been decided in advance. it had to say, I want to shape myself into da 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 for this particular story with Vincent or whoever else is listening. And then it put it there itself. It shaped itself and something appeared in inner space or story space. But just like with a novel and a writer and stuff on a page, just like with a screenwriter and a movie director and all of that and a movie on a screen, it had to have been created in advance and then put it there and then put there. The same thing's true about the human story from what I see with a capital S. So then if we look at it logically, the question becomes, well, if Vincent's life is 97 years, did True Creative Essence write the 97-year book with all of its detail before Vincent was born and the whole story unfolded exactly as it was written? The whole story was written in advance. You know, like right now, the whole Harry Potter seven-book series is in the can, so to speak. If somebody were to start reading the story now, however long it would take them to get through all seven books or all seven movies, it would take them, they would perceive it all, you know, a little bit at a time, page at a time for the books, frame at a time for the movies, but it's already done. The final outcome's already done. It's just unfolding and being perceived a little bit at a time as it unfolds. Or did maybe True Creative Essence in a 97-year story for Vincent write the first, you know, 53 years and then the story started to run, and then True Creative Essence, you know, wrote the other whatever pages or was writing pages, you know, a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes before it showed up in Vincent's story. It doesn't matter if the whole book was written in advance and then it started to appear in story space and inner space, or if some of it was done on the fly. You know, it doesn't make any difference. It had to have been done in advance. It had to have been written in advance. True Creative Essence had to have said, this is what I want to shape myself into in this story for this character, and then do it. So a decision, if you will, content had to be decided in advance before True Creative Essence shaped itself into that. Having said that, to me, in what I've seen with a capital S and what I believe is the most supportive way to look at it as a crutch until there's a direct experience of truth, is to look at it as if the entire story was written in advance. And then after it was completely written, True Creative Essence opened up the book, started reading it. And whenever it's got the book open and it's reading, you're aware of what's happening. And when there's nothing that you're aware of, which is really only in deep sleep when it's complete blackout, you know, through part of the night, that's when True Creative Essence puts the book down and isn't reading. And but that's, to me, the most supportive way to look at it. Until such time as you may be shown with a capital S, you might see with a capital S something different. Okay, continuing. I say so because I've been experiencing many times in ways that just cannot be coincidences without any intention of generating any outcome amazing things. Example, I write short stories and in the next weeks exactly what I wrote happened to me with all the details I had written. Other amazing examples are about the weather that I've been commanding so many times. I could give many other examples where there seems to be a communication with True Creative Essence. And like True Creative Essence would be listening, even though I know True Creative Essence has scripted everything in these stories. Sorry if I'm not totally clear here. This is related to my previous question about intuition. Thank you. Again, Vincent, to me, the easiest way to look at this is if something appears in inner space, if something appears in story space, True Creative Essence wrote it first, and then it appeared. Even if what appears is Vincent appears to be writing and what Vincent writes then appears to happen. I mean, again, imagine you're reading a novel and there's a character named Vincent or whatever. And in the novel, the character is writing short stories. And then as you're reading the novel, you see that the character, a bunch of the stuff that was written is showing up. It's not that the character in the fictional story has some sort of creative power or is communicating with the author, or that the author's listening. It's just that the author wrote the story for the character to appear to have power in the story, creative power, but that's not what happened. You know, again, in the Harry Potter books, the characters can't talk to J.K. Rowling. There's no dialogue or interaction that goes back. The characters say and do what she wrote them to say and do, and that's the story. And what I've been shown with a capital S and C with a capital S is that for us, it's the same thing. I could go into more detail, but it would get into more logical, analytical kinds of things, which aren't really all that supportive. They could be argued with. And ultimately, it's direct experience with capital letters that's the only thing that matters. The opportunity here is simply, you know, these can be fun appearances, lack of a better term. You know, you write something and it appears to happen and it's kind of cool that there appears to be this creative power. There appears to be a relationship, you know. And so it can be enjoyed, like you could enjoy reading about that in a novel. You could enjoy reading about Harry Potter characters using magic. You know, it's cool for you to read about magic happening. You know, that's something that appears for the Robert character. This is really kind of magic, you know, in a way. You don't have a wand, but you're writing something and then it appears to show up, or you appear to control the weather. But it's still just true creative essence writing, shaping itself into story dynamics and then there being awareness of them. Here's the next one, also from Vincent. I think I was living in phase 2 years ago when I was in my 20s, but then something happened and I stopped being in phase 3 for some reasons. Okay, I don't follow that. That's probably a typo. Of course, I never called it like that, and I was not aware of being in phase 3. Do you think that's possible? Anything's possible, Vincent. My guess is the answer would be no, that this is a mind machine analytical kind of a conclusion thing, but that it's not accurate. If you really were in phase 3, number one, you wouldn't have lost it. You wouldn't have stopped being in phase 3, and the perspective would have been different. So my guess is it's not accurate, no, but certainly anything's possible. If true creative essence is interested in playing with, exploring, or expressing itself in any way with any kind of a story dynamic, including somebody appearing to go into phase 3 and then appearing to slide, you know, could create anything, because all authors are omnipotent in terms of their stories. You know, even a human fiction author has the ability to create absolutely anything happening to any character in any environment in any universe. A fiction author is absolutely omnipotent. The only limits are what the chosen story and context and such are. Continuing. Following that question is another one. Some people who attend Being in Truth and or Ultimate Key to Freedom will shift and be in phase 3, each at their own pace. And some will take years to get there. Even some will struggle and never get there. Not because they have attended the courses or any other course, simply because true creative essence has decided the script that way. I'm going to stop here. Completely correct. Took a drink there for a second. Continuing, on the other hand, some people are living in phase 3 and never attended any of your courses. And again, they're in phase 3 simply because true creative essence has decided to play that for them. What is the reason to follow any of your courses if it has no influence on anyone reaching phase 3? I'm going to stop there. I believe you know the answer to this question. I believe if you were sitting around with a bunch of other Ultimate Key to Freedom people and somebody asked you that question, I believe you kick out something similar to what I'm about to say. So I think this is a little bit of the mind machine pretending it doesn't know or understand something or doesn't have confidence in what's already there. But having said that, I'll answer it. Going back to the Harry Potter story, Hogwarts in Harry Potter is a school of magic. Wizards go there who have wizarding ability, you know, have magic ability, and they learn how to do things. It's not true. They're not real. They don't really have any magic. They don't really need to learn anything because the author, you know, is already magical, just like true creative essence already is. But it's a story of a school where people appear to learn something because it makes a great story. The whole human story is what I call a story factory. If true creative essence wants to take a character from point A to point B, it's going to do that with some sort of a story. It's not just going to snap its finger and say, okay, on Thursday at 2 o'clock, Vincent was in phase 1, and then true creative essence snaps its finger, and suddenly 5 minutes later, Vincent's magically in phase 2, and then true creative essence snaps its finger again, and suddenly 20 minutes later, Vincent's in phase 3. It doesn't work that way. If true creative essence wants to experience a character in phase 1 and then in phase 2 and then in phase 3, it's going to tell a story about what phase one was like, what the movement into phase two was like, what phase two was like, what the movement from phase two to phase three was like, and what living in phase three would be. It would do all of that with stories that would take place over varying lengths of time and have different kinds of details on them, because it's all about the stories. So if a story happens to appear that somebody interacts with a writer, a speaker, a coach, whatever you want to call Robert, and that's part of how these things happen, then that's how it was written. And it makes it interesting and fun for it to appear to unfold that way. Same exact thing as Hogwarts. I mean, imagine Hogwarts is a school of magic, and imagine that the stuff Robert offers is a school of ultimate freedom. And just like the Hogwarts has certain teachers that teach certain things, the Robert character teaches certain things in that school, quote unquote. I don't like the metaphor of school, as I think you may remember from the videos, but just making this comparison. So that's the answer to the question. Continuing, at the end of the day, you teach that phase three is the guarantee that the experience will be different and nothing else may change. It may not. And we cannot do anything to reach phase three. Everything is in the hand and will of true creative essence playing. But who we really are is true creative essence, and there must be something else, as much as fun as it can be for true creative essence to play by shaping itself into all that happens. Playing alone must be boring. Why wouldn't be the idea that true creative essence is playing with us, sharing the game with us in a certain way accurate? Vincent, I can't share anything else with you to address that. This is the mind machine buzzing and whirring and trying to analyze this and look at this from a logical, intellectual idea and concept level. I will tell you again that I am biased, as I said in the beginning, of Ultimate Freedom. I only can narrate what I've actually seen with a capital S and experienced with a capital E. It could be possible that true creative essence has a different kind of a human game story where something happens like what you're pointing at here, and I just haven't seen it, don't understand it. I can only share with you what my biased eyes, so to speak, I don't really have eyes, you know, but you know what I'm trying to say here, have seen. So that's what I can share with you. This is classic mind machine buzzing and whirring and trying to question and analyze and challenge and figure out and dance with ideas and concepts. Nothing wrong with that, but that's what it is. It's a purely analytical idea and concept dance. I can't say it's not possible. I can't say it's not accurate. All I can tell you is what I've seen and experienced and what I continue to see and experience. We could have a much more lengthy debate about this, as I mentioned. All right, for a moment, Vincent, let's assume that this was possible. And there was this dance between you and true creative essence. For the kind of a thing that you're talking about to be true, true creative essence, like you mentioned in your previous post, your previous email, would have to, so to speak, create a Vincent character and then spin him off to be independent and to have independent decision-making authority and run on autopilot and run independent of true creative essence. And they'd have to be two separate entities, if you will, such that the Vincent character could, on its own, independent, whatever, come up with a, I'd like to have such and such happen. Hey, true creative essence, can you write that into my story? You know, kind of a thing. And then true creative essence would have to be sitting there listening and then making a decision, and then it would shape. But if you start to really look at that, even from an analytical perspective, it doesn't make sense. There's all kinds of disconnects through my bias of this other Vincent character being independent enough that it could think of something that true creative essence wouldn't have thought of, and then say, hey, can we do this or whatever else? And there being this kind of just my bias, and that's all it is that, number one, I haven't seen that. I haven't experienced that. It doesn't feel right, so to speak, to the Robert character, bear with the language. And if I look at it analytically or logically, it doesn't appear to make sense or track in an accurate, clear way. There's too many contradictions and whatevers. And that's all I can share with you. I certainly could be wrong, or I could be right about the way the Robert character and many other characters have been created, but just am not aware of the fact that there's this other kind of a story that's running around where it's handled differently. I'm remembering that I said something like that in Sedona in the videos, but I could be wrong. All right, here's the next one, also from Vincent. I love the idea of being a character in a novel or movie, but any movie where we would see the main character working for hours and then sleeping for hours and then going to the bathroom and eating three times a day and much more in real time would be the worst movie of all time. Nobody could watch it. The experience of time in a movie is so different than the experience of time in life, and to see life as a movie demands a lot of edit to get it good. And also being a character in many different movies at the same time is overwhelming and so confusing. Could you shed some light on that for me? Vincent, this again is the mind machine taking a look at the content, buzzing and worrying and coming out with all these idea and concept debates, arguments, questions, comparing two things that aren't meant to be compared. They're just metaphors. This is just buzz, whir, mind machine noise. And you can enjoy the dance of it if you want. You can enjoy the mind machine arguing with itself and debating and having ideas and concepts, debate and comparing and contrasting and analyzing things. Ultimately, for the Robert character, that kind of stuff in the way things were written lost its appeal. Although I really, the Robert character enjoyed that for a long time in phase one and even a little while in phase two. And that all just dropped away. You heard me say a lot in the videos, take that idea, take that concept, take those words, put them on a shelf, and look at what's actually appearing. And let's take the discussion away from theoreticals, ideas, and concepts, and let's just talk about what's actually appearing in inner space or story space. So if you look at this, what's actually appearing is thoughts in inner space. With these kinds of things, to me, it's clear as day. It's the mind machine buzzing and whirring and kicking noise out into inner space. The reality is, so to speak, through Robert's bias, is that the experience of the human story is of being in a character in a novel. And that's how it's actually experienced. And there isn't anything about, oh, it's boring, that it's the time is different and there's eating and there's going to the bathroom and there's sleeping. That's just a mind machine logical kind of a creation. It isn't something that to me actually appears in inner space when the pure raw experience is there of being a character in a novel. Okay, here's the final one from Mark Hastings, day four, video five, so almost done. Hi, Robert. I may have misunderstood what you say regarding taking supplements for health and eating healthy. I think you said something like this: taking supplements doesn't actually do anything for your health. I played professional cricket for 10 years. I couldn't build muscle when lifting weights, but when I took a natural supplement, creatine, to help build muscle faster. When I didn't use it, there was a big decline in muscle gains. I could see this in my physical body. There is no mind machine story here. It is my actual experience. Also, I give my dog some dog supplements, i.e. digestive enzymes. When I don't give them to him, his stools are not as much, but when I do use them, he goes 3 to 4 times a day. To me, this is obviously working at helping his digestion. So from experience, no stories, supplements do have an effect in a positive way. I know positive is a story, but you know what I'm pointing at. So you're also saying that healthy eating does nothing. If I eat rubbish foods, I feel sluggish, tired, no mind machine story. It's a physical feeling. But when I eat healthy, I feel more energy. Okay, Mark, from my bias, there's a distortion here in what's going on. I'm going to speak real simply here, but if you or anybody listening wants to go into more detail here, you're welcome to in a continuing dialogue. The truth is, Mark is an amazing character in an amazing story. And what's really going on is true creative essence is reading Mark's story. And anything that happens to Mark is just what's happening to a fictional character in a fictional story. So if you were reading the Harry Potter books, just to go back to that example, and Harry Potter or Hermione or Ron or some other character took supplements, and they had an effect or they didn't have an effect, you could only know that they were taking supplements, and you could only know that they were working or not working if that's what appeared in the story and that's what the author wrote. So if you read a Harry Potter story and Harry Potter took supplements and creatine and his muscle mass went up, That's J.K. Rowling writing a story about a fictional character who takes fictional supplements, and the fictional supplements in the fictional story appear to build muscle in the fictional story. But there's no person, there's no supplement, there's no muscle, there's no cause and effect power between creatine and muscle building except in the story. If Harry Potter did not take creatine in the story that you're reading in a novel, and you're the reader, and Harry's the character, and he kept trying to build muscle and didn't, and, you know, and then later in the story, you know, 200 pages later, started taking creatine and building muscle, again, it's just an author writing a fictional character in which a fictional supplement appears to have a fictional cause and effect benefit. It's the same thing with a dog. Imagine you're reading a novel, and in a novel, a character gives its dog supplements, and the dog then has 3 to 4 times going to the bathroom. It's not really happening. There isn't really a digestive enzyme. It is just a story. So when you say no stories just from experience, that's not accurate. You're a reader of a story. Anything that appears in story space or inner space is you as true creative essence reading a story about Mark Hastings' life, so to speak, and it's all fictional. All the cause and effect relationships of any kind are just fictional. And imagine, again, you're reading a novel where a character is giving his dog supplements and the supplements appear to create such and such a reaction. It's not true. It's not real. It's just what happens in the story that you're reading. And the author determines what's going to happen, whether those things are going to be taken, the supplements, and what's going to happen or not happen if they do. To me, it's really that simple. Okay, one more came in at the last minute just as I was about to process this audio. So here we go with the final one. This one is from Mark Hastings. From listening to your reply to my question on pure, raw experience and story in Inner Space last week, I've listened to it a few times. I'm still unclear on this. Story space. You said what a camera would film in story space is the pure, raw experience, i.e., woman talking to man, and he said to her, I think you're being stupid. He could have also said, I felt depressed. It would still be pure, raw experience. This is what the camera would record. Inner space. Assuming a camera could pick up what's in inner space, if I said to myself out loud or to someone, I feel depressed, which is the same as the above example, two people talking, one said to the other, I feel depressed, that's still pure, raw experience. I was under the impression that if there is commentary or opinion, it is a story, question mark. I really wish there was a simple way of understanding this. There really is, Mark, from my bias. The mind machine is complicating this a little bit, partially because of your story about depression. But let me go over this again, and then we'll just keep in a dialogue, if it's needed, until it gets clear. Perhaps there's another way that I need to explain it that would be make it more clear for you, but here goes. First of all, let me say again, we talk about story space and inner space as if they're separate spaces, but they're not really. I mean, it all takes place in one gigantic space. The place that this is usually the most obvious to me for whatever reason is when I'm driving. So if I'm driving, I'm aware of the steering wheel, I'm aware of the glass windshield, I'm aware of the car, I'm aware of everything that's in front of me, and I'm also aware of whatever may be appearing in inner space, and it's really all in one gigantic place. You could say some of it's visible and some of it's invisible, inner space being invisible, but it's all in one gigantic space. But it's important to break it into two spaces just to make it easier to talk about. So, in story space, the pure raw experience, which you understand, is what would a video camera record? If a video camera records a person saying, I am depressed, I feel depressed, yes, that's a pure raw experience in story space of a person saying, I feel depressed. So anything a video camera would record of story space is the pure raw experience. You totally get that. Where the confusion is coming in is an inner space. If you say to yourself out loud Then that's in story space, Mark, because that's the Mark body using the Mark body's vocal cords and talking to somebody. So that would be the pure raw experience of story space, that a character named Mark is saying, I feel depressed. In inner space, there are three things that appear. There are thoughts, there are feelings or emotions, same thing, and there are sensations. They are all invisible. There isn't really a recorder that could pick them up. But if there was a recorder that could pick them up, for sensations, it would be, I think I mentioned this last week, I'm not sure, because I may have said this somewhere else. If there was some way that a camera could pick up sensations and emotions and feelings, it would be something like a waveform, you know, like a heartbeat, you know, it would be something like that. It would be something that would oscillate, that would appear to move in a particular way. That's what a sensation would look like if it was recordable. That's what an emotion would feel like if it was recordable. So the pure raw experience of an emotion, as you said, does not have a story attached to it. It's just the movement of energy, which again, if we could make it visual, it would be some sort of a waveform, a heartbeat. You've probably seen that somewhere in your life, in some medical TV show or movie where someone's dying or whatever, and you see the little screen and it's got like this green waveform that's going up and down and stuff. Or if you've ever seen what an audio waveform looks like when you record audio, like I'm recording this right now, I'm looking at my audio software and there are little things that go up and down. It's called a waveform. Same thing happens with audio and video and stuff. So the pure raw experience of what appears in inner space is just the emotion, just the movement of energy, just the physical sense, just the sensation, movement of energy. Thoughts can also appear in inner space. So yes, there can be a pure raw experience of a thought, which could be a voice in inner space that would say, I feel depressed. And a video camera would record a voice saying in inner space, I feel depressed. So there can be a pure raw experience in inner space of a thought that says, I feel depressed. It could be a voice. It could be a video of Mark seeing himself in the mirror and saying, I really feel depressed today. Or there could be a thought in inner space of a video, which is one of the ways a thought can appear in inner space, of Mark appearing to talk to somebody else and saying, I'm really depressed. The pure raw experience would be, what's the content of the video? If it was a video in inner space as a thought, what's the content of the voice of the audio in inner space? And then it would just be a voice that says, I feel depressed. If there is a pure raw experience of an emotion in inner space, meaning a movement of energy, moving a waveform, meaning a waveform, an oscillation, a heartbeat, kind of a visual like I just talked about, and it gets bonded with a thought that says, this is depression and this feels bad, or I'm feeling depressed right now because that particular movement of energy is moving in inner space, then yes, that's a story. That is then a pure raw experience of emotional energy merging with a thought about it, a story about it, and then it becomes, this is depression, this doesn't feel good, this is me, and then the conclusion is, I feel depressed. So again, the easiest way to look at this is, and I'm putting together right now, I'm doing an event in Japan at the end of December on the Ultimate Key to Happiness. And I'm actually going to make some videos along the lines of what I've been talking about. You know, I'm going to show a waveform and say, if we could make an emotion visual, it would look like this. If we could make a sensation visual, it would look like this. And then I'm going to do some things with a video and have there be a story attached and with an audio that says, I'm depressed and I don't feel good. And show that being attached to the waveform and then delete it and then just have the waveform silently run again and illustrate this. And I'll share that somewhere if that's something that you think might be helpful. But to me, the easiest way to think about this is to think of a pure raw experience. Again, in story space, you totally get it. It's no commentary. It's just what would a video camera see. So the confusion really is, in inner space. So in inner space, and I realize that this is hard to see, or it can be hard to see because the mind machine does all of this so fast. But what actually happens in inner space, if you're able to see it with both emotions and sensations, is there's a movement of energy that appears first. It's the first thing that appears in inner space. And it has certain characteristics. It feels a certain way. The emotion, you know, again, it's intense, it's quiet, it's smooth, it's sharp, it appears loud and aggressive, or it appears soft and gentle. You know, these are all just descriptive words. They're distortions. But whenever we have a feeling or we have a sensation that appears in inner space, they have certain characteristics. We can describe them using words. It's very hard, but we can describe them using words. So let's speak about emotions only, just to simplify it, since you're talking about depression. So depression would be a certain waveform. It would be a certain oscillation. It would be a certain visual, like a heartbeat in the way that I'm talking about here. And it appears first. And it always appears first in its pure raw experience state, so to speak. It's just a movement of energy that has these characteristics. There is no commentary. There is no story. There is no label. There is no judgment. There's just the pure raw experience of this movement of energy. And it appears first. And then imagine that it appears first and the mind machine looks at it, the pure raw experience, and says, "What is this? What does it mean? How should I respond?" After it looks at this pure raw experience, it then makes up a story about it. It says, "Oh, I recognize that one. That's depression. And depression doesn't feel good. And so I'm depressed and I don't feel good," is then the story that gets bonded to or fused to that movement of raw energy. And all of a sudden, in the way I explained with H2O, two hydrogen molecules and an oxygen molecule that become water, it's really two hydrogen molecules and one oxygen molecule, but when they combine, it creates this new thing called water that looks different and seems to be different and have its own independent existence. So the raw, pure raw experience of the energy moving gets fused with this story. This is depression. This is bad. I don't feel good. I feel depressed. I don't feel good. Combines, and that's what it then becomes in the way that the mind machine looks at it. The pure raw experience is the movement of energy without the story, without the commentary, which you do understand. But another way that might be helpful for you to look at it is it's the movement of energy that appears first before the mind machine gets a hold of it, hijacks it, buzzes and whirs and tells a story about it, and then fuses the story to it. And it is possible it becomes or can become the consistent experience of emotion. This is where Robert has been living and breathing and experiencing for a really long time, and there are a lot of other people, including people who have read characters who've read the Ultimate Key to Happiness book or been through Ultimate Freedom or Being in Truth, that are actually experiencing it this way. They just experience emotions now all the time without the story, because what always happened is this movement of energy appears in inner space. But when you're playing in phase three, the mind machine notices it, because the mind machine notices everything that appears in inner space or story space. But with what happens in phase three, the mind machine does not engage. It doesn't observe the movement of energy, buzz and whir, give it a name, give it a judgment, tell a story about it, fuse the story to the pure raw experience, and create this new beast called depression. It just stays quiet. And when it stays quiet, then you just experience the pure raw experience, which is just the pure movement of energy, the pure emotion, without any story or any commentary. And you understand this, you know, looking at what you wrote in here, you understand this. You're just combining a pure raw experience in story space or a pure raw experience of a thought in inner space that says, "I feel depressed," and you're thinking that it's the same thing as the pure raw experience of the emotion, but it's not. The pure raw experience of the emotion is the pure movement of energy with whatever its characteristics are that appears first, that has no story, no commentary, no opinion. It's just the pure raw emotion before the mind machine gets a hold of it. So if it still isn't clear, you know, no biggie. Let's just keep going back and forth. I'll keep seeing what other kinds of metaphors or examples or ways of explaining it come through. and it'll get to the point, maybe not that you'll understand it intellectually, because on this path that doesn't mean much anymore. What means much is that you actually are able to observe, you, so to speak, are able to observe inner space and see this movement of energy without a story. And you can say, oh, I see what he's saying. I'm experiencing that. Yes, there's that movement of energy that's there. It's not depression. It's not happiness. It's not excitement. It's not anything. It's just this movement of energy. And the mind machine has not engaged, or hasn't engaged yet, to give it a name and a label and a story and then fuse them all together. The real important thing is that you actually see with a capital S and experience that, not understand it intellectually. The stuff I've been giving you here is the intellectual piece that can be a crutch, but it's the ultimate experience of it that's going to ultimately resolve this. So that's all the questions for this week. Thank you very much for the submissions. I'll look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that may take. Bye-bye for now.